the CEO of the Bertha Kowa Hospital in Germiston, is my In the Spotlight guest. Can't call in because we've recorded this just to make the point, but you can certainly tweet. Well, I continued talking to her about her time being on the SRC at university.
My goal is to be able to change and influence health in particular. Health in terms of, and I'm very excited about the national health insurance as well, because it talks about health being accessible, because health is, in my belief, and in the Constitution also supports me on this one, it's a basic human right. But at the moment, with the private versus public health system, it's almost like it's giving people a choice. And it, depending on how much money you've got, then you can access better health care.
So can I say then, you know, primary health care as we know it, which is a basic human right, is a right not being received by the vast majority of South Africans?
This is correct. And it's accessibility issues, it's affordability issues, which we then need to, as a country, address. And while I do believe that the public health system is better positioned to provide better quality health care than in the private sector, I feel that because of sheer volumes of patients that we see, we're not able to provide that even greater quality than we are currently. So we really then need to be able to say, what are the resources that are available, and what is the in terms of finances and also infrastructure, what hospitals are available, and we then have centers of excellence in the different areas, and it can be in the different disciplines, and we say, this is where you need to go for this particular care.
Okay. Well, I mean, here's the thought. I mean, I have private health care. I'm on medical aid. Do I want to do that? Do I want to pay as much as I pay every month? Absolutely not. I'd love to go to a hospital that belongs to my country because I pay taxes and ensure that I'm not compromised with my health. But the question is that attainable? Something for you to consider and mull over as I continue chatting to Dr. Nkwetemba Mtshali, who's in the spotlight. She's the CEO of the Bertha Kowa Hospital, and very importantly, just right now, the youngest South African CEO of a hospital ever, and now on that list of 200 young South Africans, the Mail and Guardian list, so high achiever indeed. So it's now time, well, we always ask the our spotlight guest to choose a song and to tell us why. So who are you choosing and why?
Lyra, Something Inside So Strong, because it reminds me of the resilience of the human spirit. Beyond, it doesn't matter what may happen and the noise around you, but the human spirit is so strong.
So there you are, Something Inside So Strong. Yeah, it is.
The higher you build your barrier, taller I become, the further you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away. No matter, 'cause there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone, oh no. Something inside so strong, oh, something inside so strong. The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing. You hide behind walls of Jericho, our lives will come tumbling down. of space and time. You squander wealth that's mine. My light will shine so bright it will blind you. Because there's something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone, oh no. Something inside so strong. Oh, something inside so strong. Brothers and sisters, when they insist that we're just not good enough,
there we are, Lira, great choice, don't you think? Continue chatting to Dr. Nokwetema Mchali, and then I asked her about the very important things away from just music and other things, about quality health and these compromises, if anything, around public health.
I think in this instance, you're probably asking about affordability as And in South Africa, unlike in some countries, universal healthcare coverage is not a matter of finance, mm-hmm. as such, because as a country we're already spending close to 8.5% of GDP on health, yet our outcomes don't reflect that. So it's a matter of how do we pool the available resources, because countries that are already rolling out and universal healthcare are actually spending way less than that.
So that means we're not efficient. We certainly have the interests of people in heart. We're spending the right money, but we're not spending it in the right places.
No. Well, it's important to also note that the fact that the government spends about 40% of that. So and then the rest of it is in private. But also, if you understand that of the government is spending that 40-50% on healthcare, but it's servicing more people than the other half of what is actually being contributed towards healthcare in the private sector, which is seeing less than 20%, which is I think the percentage is about 16%. Mm-hmm. And you have to look at those discrepancies, and you have to look at the fact that human resource as well, it's just as badly distributed in terms of the skills. In terms of the doctors, the specialists, the nurses are also largely in the private healthcare system, which is only servicing 16%, and then the rest of what is available is then in the public sector.
So can I say that in terms of your growth trajectory, I could well be talking to a future Minister of Health?
Maybe.
I'm just looking at it. Medical doctor, politics, SRC. Practicing as a doctor, CEO of a hospital, which means the business side of the medicine part, which is understanding all of that. So, not quite now. We've got a minister in place. But sometime down the line, would you, if you were offered that position one day, would you consider?
I might consider it, because I think there is value that that I can bring to the health sector, and unfortunately I can never say that this is my path, because you know there are other factors that are, you know, obviously right political organization and all of those things, but also just in terms of my own guidance, they are parts that I will obviously be leaning towards more than others. Mm. I certainly think that at a systems level, at a policy level, I can make a contribution.
Mm. And I just want to rewind to the moment you decided, because I mean you graduated, you then went to a couple of businesses around medicine. I'm talking about Metropolitan as a medical advisor, etc. But when was that moment when you decided, actually, I don't want to practice medicine, but I want to heal in terms of administering and making sure things are going to work well?
It was as quickly as I stepped into the hospital environment. Mm-hmm. And I'm highlighting some of the frustrations where you find that this is what as clinicians, this is what we need. However, procurement is taking, you know, is giving us this sort of equipment or consumables, and that's frustrating. And sometimes, yes, doctors can be picky because they want to use certain brands or certain things, but you want to be able to create an environment where people don't get frustrated because what they're using is not, you know, is not user-friendly or is not able to give them the satisfaction.
So basically, from your side, you're saying, I want you to deliver, and I'm unable to deliver because there's a service delivery problem in these hospitals. So I'm now going to get into the leadership positions of hospitals to ensure that there's service delivery. Yes. I mean, in terms of your own mandate, are you, your own goals rather, are you succeeding in not scoring own goals, which sounds very, very cryptic?
Remember, the good side is that I understand what is needed and sort of what is the consumables, the equipment that is fit for purpose. I think from that side I understand, and I'm able to advocate for doctors when or health nurses, doctors, all the clinicians when they need a particular you know, service or a particular instrument, and because I understand it from that point of view. But also I understand that there's a mandate for us to be able to keep costs as low as possible. So it's always that benefit, and not necessarily looking at only the cost being the lowest cost, therefore that's what we're going to choose. It's what is actually giving us value in the long term. And when you're looking at something that Harvard professor Michael Porter is talking about, is the value-based healthcare delivery. And I believe that even for us to be able to deliver value-based care, when we're saying how much the outcomes, where we're deriving value from the patient's point of view, and we're saying value is outcomes over the cost of delivering the service. And then you're saying that also procurement needs to follow that function as well. They need to understand that we need to procure for value, so not necessarily that this is the cheapest equipment that we can find, therefore that's what we're procuring, but in terms of what is the lifetime or value of this equipment. How much is it going to take us to service? I mean, how much is it going to cost us to service it in the long term? And what can we do about it when we are done and when it reaches its
all,
end of
all
life?
Very, very important.
You know, so all of those of those questions, and you satisfy yourself that this is what will give the best value. So I think I'm able to balance that, because also my position requires that I balance that. I can't just be looking at one over the other.
And then the next important thing is, like, why is she successful?
I have a gift with people, with working with people, understanding them on a deeper level than on just employer relations. So I think my people management skills are quite strong. And way communication, very critical, because you deal with humans and you deal with people, and one of the things that we almost don't take seriously is that a person exists in their full humanity. So they're not just an employer, because and they're there as an employer and as an employee. They are mothers, they are fathers, they are wives, and there are so many other factors that contribute to them being who they are, and they don't, and you need to be able to understand that.
And thank goodness you've got all those things right. Let's wrap up. We've got about a few minutes to go, so quick questions with quick answers. So who would you want to take out to lunch? I mean, maybe just three individuals if you have them.
Michelle Obama,
mm-hmm.
Kamala Harris,
right.
And it will have to absolutely be Winnie Madikizela Mandela.
What a combination. I'm an old country saying, can I be a part of that? So you're the president of South Africa. This is after you become the Minister of Health. Remember that. I haven't forgotten. And you have the choice of now choosing a deputy, and no qualification. They just have to be South African. Who would you choose?
I'd choose the former public protector, Advocate Thuli Madonsela.
Okay. At least she's got the job already, because everybody's given her the job, I can tell you now, over the last few weeks. But let me say, good choice indeed. A really good leadership book that you'd recommend?
Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Ironically, I tweeted the digital version of that book, like in cartoon form, yesterday to a whole lot of people. And Thuli Madonsela replied to say, every young person needs to read that. So very, very topical indeed. Yeah. What about, I mean, so Fees Must Fall was the big hashtag of last year. What would be the big trend for this year when you reflect?
It should really be what's the word? Free health.
free health.
Because well, I think, especially with the NHI coming out, white paper.
That would be the case. Give us a quote you can leave us with that would inspire.
It will have to be a quote by Marianne Wilkinson, which is talking about, and I won't, I'll paraphrase, but that when we let our light shine, we let other people's light also shine. And that my success doesn't take away anything from your success, or it doesn't exclude your success. And we be able to allow each other to be successful.
It's a good point. It should never be an either or, isn't it? Yeah. What's the one big lesson you've learned in life?
One big lesson is to take better care of myself.
Well, you're in health care, just so that you will emphasize the point. How would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as someone who believed it could be done and she did it.
Okay, then leave us with maybe just one thought about anything that we can think about the entire evening.
Sure. It will just be that that we need to believe that we can be instruments of change, and we've got it within us to be able to change.
She certainly does have that, Dr. Nokwe Temba. Charlie, time now for Radio Vuka.